Mix quantum physics, theories of consciousness, a lot of glitzy computer graphics, and a woman channeling a 35,000-year-old spiritual warrior, and what do you get? A box office bonanza. The indie film What the Bleep Do We Know is packing art houses in cities across the country. A lot of viewers are going back two or even three times. What's the draw?
Why are we here? Well, that is the ultimate question, isn't it?
What is reality?
I think the more you look at quantum physics, the more mysterious and wondrous it becomes.
Have you ever thought about what thoughts are made of?
Asking yourself these deeper questions opens up new ways of being in the world. It brings in a breath of fresh air. It makes life more joyful. The real trick to life is not to be in the know, but be in the mystery.
The film is What the Bleep Do We Know? A heady mixture of quantum physics and New Age philosophy. We'll hear from its director in just a minute, but first, for every viewer who loves this film, there seems to be a scientist who hates it. Michael Shermer's the director of the Skeptic Society and a columnist for Scientific American.
What bothers us is the bad science. It's not a bad film in a sense. It's a beautifully produced film. It's artfully edited. The music is wonderful, and you know, it is a compelling film, but like Fahrenheit 9/11, you don't know which factoids that are being thrown at you you can trust and which you can't, and many of them you can't trust, because even though they're put forward by so-called real scientists, these are scientists that are really quite on the fringes of science, and if you're not in science, you wouldn't know that. So when they talk about these implications of quantum mechanics, they're speaking really as a tiny minority. Most physicists do not share those particular perspectives. And I will have to say that I was further put off by the use of a woman named Jay-Z Knight, who runs a New Age Enlightenment organization up in the state of Washington, who she claims she channels a 35,000-year-old spirit warrior. And this is one of the primary interviewees in the film, as if this woman who knows nothing about physics, who claims to channel this 35,000-year-old warrior, has something important to say about quantum mechanics or consciousness, which is just absurd. So I was taken aback by that.
New Age propaganda or revolutionary science? Well, let's meet one of the directors of What the Bleep Do We Know? Mark Vicente is a Hollywood director and cinematographer. He's worked on a number of big-budget, mainstream pictures. And Strange Chimps asked how he came to make this one.
You know, for a long time in my life, I wanted to express some of the ideas that are in this film. And at the time, of course, I was, you know, shooting Hollywood movies and sometimes shooting stuff that I just thought was absolutely horrible and pathetic. And so, you know, based just on frustration in about the year 2000, I realized, you know, this is it. I can't be making other people's stories about things I don't care about anymore. I have to make stories that I care about.
Now, as a filmmaker, it must have been quite a challenge to figure out how to get quantum physics, theories of consciousness, neural networks, and God into a movie an audience would actually sit through.
And we kept on saying to ourselves, the only way people will remain interested is if we hang the story on an emotional story about somebody that they might care about or identify with. So what we did is, you know, we got Marlee Matlin to get on board with the film, and we had her story about the, you know, the depressed and shut down photographer who has all these breakthroughs in her life. And we realized if we could get people to care a little bit about her, we could then ride some of these ideas on a story and keep people emotionally engaged, because nobody wants to sit through an hour and a half lecture.
Well, you also had to make some of these ideas visual. So describe a little bit how you went about doing that. I mean, the scene with the little boy on the basketball court, for instance.
Welcome to Duke Reginald's court of unending possibilities.
She, like Alice in Wonderland, walks onto this basketball court, into this court of, you know, infinite potentials, which is a wacky court and which is the way the quantum field works. And there she meets the little boy, you know, Robert Bailey Jr., the actor, who has all these amazing abilities, and he's showing her how the quantum field works. And so, for instance, you know, he's saying to her that, you know, reality isn't fixed. It's this series of probabilities, of probable maybes, that only comes into existence when you as the observer look at it and collapse that reality into a single reality. And so, for example, on the basketball court, when she turns away from him, the basketball he's bouncing turns into multiple basketballs bouncing at different rates in different places, and the minute she turns around to look, it all collapses into one. And so his job is there is to be this little master who's teaching her about how reality actually works.
Being in many places at once, experiencing many possibilities all at once, and then collapsing on the one.
you really have to recognize that even the material world around us, the chairs, the tables, the rooms, the carpet, all of these are nothing but possible movements of consciousness. This is the only radical thinking that you need to do. But it is so radical, it's so difficult, because our tendency is that the world is already out there, independent of my experience.
You now can see in numerous labs around the United States objects that are large enough to be seen by the naked eye, and they are in two places simultaneously. And you can actually take a photograph of that. I don't think people really believe it. And I don't mean that people say, oh, you're lying, or, oh, the scientists are confused. I think it is so mysterious that you can't even understand how amazing it is. There is this completely amazing magic sitting right in front of your eyes.
Now I want to ask you about some of the science. I'm not a scientist. You aren't either. But
I'm not, no.
Were you careful about what you would call mainstream, real, verifiable science and what would be pretty fringy?
You know, we have to ask, you know, what mainstream science is. There's so many anomalies that contradict, you know, what everybody says is true. I mean, at one point we thought that the world was flat. At one point we thought that the sun revolved around the earth. There were so many ideas that we once had that simply, you know, turned out not to be true. And we don't think that this film is truth necessarily. We think it's philosophy.
The other main criticism of the film has to do with the involvement of the person called Ramtha.
That is correct, yeah.
Did you intend the movie to introduce Ramtha's ideas to a wider audience?
No, I think we, you know, because first of all, I don't think the school is for everybody. I do attend the school, and I've just recently finished a retreat as of yesterday. I do not like the idea of recruiting because it has a sort of a zealous nature, you know, that I see in a lot of other organizations, you know, somehow that I know something that nobody else knows, and so I got to convince them to come to my school of thought, which I just don't think is the way it should be. So, no, it was just that we had a curiosity about this information, and we saw connections that we felt that most people weren't aware of because they're hidden in little weird bookstores and, you know, New Age stores and self-help sections in bookstores and in colleges and professors' minds. It never got out into the mainstream. And basically, if you look at the numbers and how well this film is doing, it suggests that there's an audience out there who is also fascinated in these ideas.
Been surprised by the kind of attention the film is getting? I mean, I've heard reports that people who see it are going back more than once, so they're taking friends and they're sitting in the dark with little notebooks writing things down.
Yeah, they are. It's pretty bizarre. I mean, I know that as of last week on the top 20, we were number 19 in the box office, and our numbers were still positive, which is very unusual and
so
very strange.
What's the nerve that's been touched? I mean, who would have predicted that a film on quantum mechanics and neurology would take off this way?
I think the film gives people back hope because it makes them realize that perhaps they have choices they haven't exercised. And I think that people are so refreshed by these ideas rather than the kind of stuff that's out there right now. I mean, it's the same. The movies are all the same, every single time. Every teenage movie you see is about boy meets girl, misunderstanding, boy runs away, old girl runs away, they make up, they get together, this happens, that. It's the same every single time, and it touches the same emotional buttons. And I think that there's a group of people in the world that are getting very, very bored, and they're looking for more. And I think that group has looked at this film and said, you know what, some of these ideas make a lot of sense to us. And so it's such a breath of fresh air to them that the idea that, you know, perhaps reality is within their command.
If reality is my possibility of consciousness itself, then immediately comes the question of how can I change it? How can I make it better? How can I make it happier? And therefore, literally, I create my own reality. It may sound like a tremendous bombastic claim by some new agey without any understanding of physics whatsoever, but really quantum physics is telling us that.
You said the film, you think one of the big draws of the film for the audience is that it gives people back hope. And I was thinking, you know, that's what religion did originally. And I'm wondering whether you're trying to construct a science that people can believe in, a science that tells us some of the same things religion used to tell us.
I think that what we most want to do, because we're not trying to create a new religion, I think what we're most trying to do is have people be curious and ask questions that they haven't asked before. Not all religions are helpful to people. The idea that we're born as sinners, and I know this isn't some of the more what I call archaic religions, I don't think those ideas are helpful to people, that we were born sinners, that we have to somehow make up for something. The idea that there's this man with a long beard floating in a cloud with a laptop keeping score about the good and bad things we do. I don't think those ideas work. So I think the relationship between science and the study of God and religion is that it points to something so mysterious. You know, if we think about, just for a second, you know, in the film we say there's 400 billion bits of information being processed in the brain per second. We're aware of 2,000 of those. That we're using, you know, less than 10% of the possible connections in our brain. There is so much more that to say that we have arrived at a definition of who we are and a definition of what God thinks we should or shouldn't be is backward. There's got to be more. I mean, if science is just starting to understand some of these ideas and it's only at the precipice, the beginning of a world that's so weird and so astounding, we'd have to open our mind and say, gee, I wonder if there's more possible. And that's what we really want people to do, is say, I wonder if there's more.
Mark Vicente is one of the directors of the movie What the Bleep Do We Know? And Strange Chaps talked with him.